going to be an unusual type of start here, and that is the cars are going to assemble on a dummy grid that is about 50 to 100 yards behind the normal grid, and then at 1 minute they will start and go up to the correct starting grid, and then the flag will drop and they will take off. This does save the problem of having a lot of people on the start-finish line, and photographers and mechanics and so on, because the drivers go up with their engines running, keep them running, and then in about half to 1 minute, and it's up to the starter's discretion, Texas' discretion, he will drop the flag and then they're off. And that's the start of the race itself. At the moment, of course, the mechanics are putting the cars on the grid in the positions that they should be in, but we still have, what, nearly 40 minutes or so before the race begins, and the drivers are going to do one warm-up lap, and when you'll be able to see them going quite slowly, warming their cars up. That is getting the oil warm rather than the water, and the transmission and so on. Now, the car number 16, and these are not in any particular order, they're just the sort of order that I happen to make notes about the cars. Car number 16, which is the Lotus, and is being driven by Jim Hall, entered by British Racing Partnership. This is a fuel injection car with a 5-speed gearbox, Colotti type. It's a 1962 Lotus, Mark 24. So number 16 did 1 minute 17.7. These are official times set up in the past 2 days of practice. Cars number 8, 9 and 10 are Lotuses, and they do vary slightly, not that much. The car to be driven by Jimmy Clark, and also the car being driven by Trevor Taylor, I think it is, yes, number 9. They are both fuel injection Coventry Climax engines, whereas car number 10 being driven by Pedro Rodriguez is a carburetor version. Now, as far as I can see, the difference in the carburetor version against the injection is the injection has slightly more power low down, and therefore will most likely accelerate slightly better than the carburetor car. But speaking to Jimmy, who's tried both the cars, it appears that the maximum speed is very little different. This, of course, does not mean that the carburetor is as fast as an injection car for a lap, but from the driver's point of view driving it, there isn't that much difference. As a matter of fact, I think the injection cars are slightly lighter, very slightly lighter, nothing to do with them being injection, but just being a little bit later model than the one with the carburetor, although they are the same type. That is, they are a Lotus Mark 25, and they've got Coventry Climax engines, the V8, as most cars here have. It's a 1962 and a half model. By that I mean it was not new this year, it was new last year, but part way through the year. It is a little bit more modern, if you like, than the Mark 24 that Jim Hall is driving and some of the other drivers have. They've got 5-speed gearboxes. Number 9, Jimmy Clark's car, has got a 5-speed Hewland. Now, Hewland gearbox is a very much modified Volkswagen. I think that the only thing that remains as Volkswagen is the casing, but they've got inside that 5 different gears, and I think it may be that it has the standard crown wheel and pinion, but the gears, of course, and other things are changed. And cars number 8 and 10, the other two Lotuses, have got ZF gearboxes. Now, one interesting thing is these cars weigh about 1,025 pounds. This is a weight unladen, but with oil and water, and not the drivers, obviously, and not fuel. Most of these cars will carry from 30 to 35 gallons of fuel, American gallons that is, depending on the length of the race as to how much they're going to put in or how much tankage they fit. But this is around about this order, and some of the cars have rubber tanks and some of them have aluminum. Car 23 and 24 are the Ferraris driven by John Surtees and Lorenzo Bandini. They are not the very latest car. They are space frame cars for much the same reason as the BRMs, and that is that they feel that they have not gone quite far enough with the monocoque to bring them here and try and do a race of this nature. therefore, although Jimmy has clinched the title for next year... John Surtees 113.7 and Bandini 115.8. Lola Climax with fuel injection. It's a 62 car with a 6-speed Colotti gearbox and weighs about 1,000 pounds. And he did 115.6. Roger Ward's driving number 18, another Rich Parnell's cars, a Lotus BRM, fuel injection, 1962 car, another 6-speed gearbox, and this one weighs about 1,050 pounds. Number 22, the third of Rich's cars, is driven by Hap Sharp, and is a Lotus BRM with fuel injection. Again, a 1962 car with a 5-speed gearbox, weighing 1,050 pounds. This is the same weight, roughly, as Roger Ward's car. Although Roger's got 6 gears, this does not necessarily increase the weight more than 1 pound, if that. He did 1 minute 20 net. Then there's number 21, which is Peter Broecker, who's driving his own car, the Stebro, which is powered by a push rod, 1500cc Ford 109E engine with a Martin head. This is a very modified head, and it's got a Hewland 5-speed gearbox. Oh, by the way, talking of those, the Brabham cars have got a Hewland as well, but they are Brabham Hewlands, which means that Jack's waved the wand over them as well. Now, the car number 21 weighs 995 pounds approximately. But the main thing about it is it's the first Canadian attempt at building their own Grand Prix car. I think it is, anyway. And the people concerned with it come from places as far apart as Montreal and Toronto. Finally, last but not least by any means, are the Brabhams, car numbers 5 and 6, being driven by Jack Brabham and Dan Gurney. Now, these two cars are designed by Jack. Jack's driving 5, by the way, and Dan Gurney, of course, 6. These cars were designed by Jack Brabham, who can't only drive, which he proved by winning the World Championship twice, but also even design, which he's now proved by turning in a time 5th fastest and 6th fastest at 1 minute 14.2 and 1 minute 14.5. Jack did 14.2, Dan did 14.5. They changed Dan's engine last night, because there were slight problems with the one, I think they found water in the oil or something, and they changed it anyway, so maybe Dan will go even a little bit quicker today. These cars have both got Climax fuel injection engines. They are space frame machines. In other words, they have got a chassis, and they're both made in 1963, and they are fuel injected, and they've both got 5-speed Brabham Hewland gearboxes, which again is this Volkswagen, modified by Hewland, modified by Brabham. That, I presume, when you get to the end of it, means that the thing doesn't break. Anyway, that's what they have as gearboxes, and those two cars are painted green because, although Jack's Australian, it does come, or did, if they haven't left us now, in the British Empire, so they use the colour green for their colours. And you'll notice that Dan Gurney will most likely have a black hat in car number 6, and Jack will most likely have a silver one in car number 5. Otherwise, the cars are very similar, and they weigh, I believe, about 1,050. So, excluding the car number 21, which weighs under 1,000 pounds, because obviously it's a considerably lighter type of machine, being a much smaller, well, not smaller, but less powerful engine than the others, most of the cars weigh from 1,050 to 1,100 pounds. Obviously, 100 pounds does make some difference to the performance of a car on acceleration and deceleration. And the only reason I want to point out the weights of these cars is because there is an old saying, I think, in America that a car doesn't hold the road unless it weighs an awful lot. And this is really proof of the pudding. I mean, the drivers, I can assure you, if they could make the same car for 800 pounds, being as strong and reliable as these are, 1,000 pounds, they would have done so, or the designers would have, because they're striving and they're allowed to go down to 450 kilos, which is 2.2 pounds to a kilo, so they're just over the limit. Although I think that maybe some could take a little off, not much. Cars are not drilled all over as they used to be, but the weight is reduced by design. A lot of these cars' fuel tanks, for instance, are made of aluminium. Some are made of rubber. And the bodies are made of aluminium or electron or fiberglass. They vary one to the other. And there isn't much weight wasted on a car. Another thing is there are very few cars here with the springs of the suspension, what we would call outboard, and that is in the airstream. Most of them have managed to get them inside the car, and they work on a rocker principle, so that when a car goes over a bump, it pushes up the wishbone, which pushes down the inside portion of it, and then it touches the spring, and therefore it has suspension. This is done to reduce unsprung weight. Those that don't know what that means, which is me included practically, it means the weight around the wheel that is actually sprung when the wheel goes up and down, and the thing is on the sprung side rather than on the car side. I won't go into the technical details of the engines, because there are some cars here with what they call flat cranks and some with unflat cranks. But basically speaking, if a car has a flat crank, it at the moment appears that it has more power low down, not necessarily more at the top. But most of the cars do have that, but most of the cars do have fuel injection as well, and most of the cars here do have six-speed gearboxes. The cars are now assembled in their grid order, and the start line, for those that aren't near the start, is fairly crowded, and the cars are set back, I suppose, 30 yards, 40 yards from where they're going to start. So obviously they start on the start line. Although there are races where you don't start on the start line. Sounds funny, but they start you back, so you have a sort of rolling start when you get to the start line, but still, you can still get disqualified for jumping the start, even then, so I can't see much point in it. I make it about 15 minutes to go. That is unofficial, by the way, completely unofficial, the 15 minutes. But I gather they're going to put a 5-minute, shoot a rocket or do something anyway. They're going to make some sort of noise, audible warning, as well as a board, I presume, at 5 minutes. It's a small cannon. And this will be the 5-minute signal, and there's going to be the same thing at 1 minute. Now, when the 1 minute thing goes, then the drivers will start their cars and come up to their correct positions, which they are not in now. Or at least they're in the correct positions, but not on the right spot. They will then drive forward. There are many advantages of this type of start. First of all, it does clear the grid a bit, but there are many others. It gets people off the start and so on. But if a man, for instance, can't start his car, the other drivers know this as they begin to try it. They have to move past him to get up to their place to start from, so they know. And it's far less likely to put some of the field out on the start line because somebody didn't see the guy in front of him hadn't started his motor.
There, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard the greatest of the race drivers in recent years. You know how he sounds now. He's going to tell you much more about what's going on as time goes by. There is the signal to warm up the engines. The self-starters have buzzed the engines over. And before long, the horde of highly tuned hornets will tear loose. And brothers and sisters, if you don't get a thing out of this, Rollo, roll over, you're dead. Well, it's getting very tense now. The engines are being revved. The drivers will indicate when they are ready. As Sterling told you, they are back on an earlier grid at the present time. They will roll down with their engines operating to where the starter is located, and will give you the unofficial times as time goes by. and the unofficial time for the overall race is 110 laps, 253 miles. Jimmy Clark is now down on the regular grid with his number 8. He is being pushed back again so that he can line up for his proper starting position. You notice the car number 8 has long P-shooter exhaust pipes. The wheels are yellow. And Sterling gave me many mechanical features of this particular automobile. The BRM, British Racing Motor Car, is on the inside. That is, of course, Graham Hill, the existing champion. Or the champion at the present time. Car number 8 is alongside of Graham Hill now. They're both cars in the front row. Surtees car. You'll have to get back or sit down, get off this rope or squat down. Everybody down on the rope. All right, let's have everybody down on the rope. We've got to see this race, folks. That's what we're here for.
There's something up with Jimmy Clark's car. They've got the bonnet off at the moment. And now there's the 1 minute, and Graham Hill's gone down to the start line. Jimmy Clark, car number 8, is still stationary with the top, what do you call the bonnet? Top. I'm sorry, the hood. I can't speak American, pardon me. They've got the hood off on Jimmy Clark's car, and Colin Chapman and the mechanics are around him, and he's back. His space is left vacant on the front row, right next to Graham Hill, which gives Richie Gittner, who is directly behind him in car number 2, a clear run. He will not move up, or shouldn't move up, I don't think, because he has not qualified for that. And the person who would qualify to move up would be John Surtees, car 23. I notice they're now pushing Jimmy's car, number 8, back out of the way of the other cars. Yes, they're going back towards the pit area, or at least off the track as such. The other drivers are holding their position. In fact, they all seem to be in the correct places. Everybody's being waved from the track. Everybody is off the track now. There is nobody on the circuit. So,
the order is 2, 23, and 6. Cancel that. It's 1. Graham Hill is still running first. The number 2 car is running second. That's at the halfway mark.
Car number 8, meanwhile, Jimmy Clark is now out of his car, and they're working on it. Unfortunately, I can't tell you what it was at all. It could be electrical trouble. It could be anything. At the moment, we have no news of this car. It's still here, off the circuit, but around the pit area, although it is not in front of its pit. They're now putting the front of the car back on as the cars come around for the first lap.
And here they come. They certainly made rapid time for standing start that time at the halfway mark. It was 1-2. Same orders when they went by here. Car number 6, Dan Gurney, is running in fourth spot. In car number four is Tony Maggs running in the next position. Here they come down. Right on, it shows right now. Number two is running fourth. That is Richie Ginther. And number five, Jack Bottom. And here they come once again. See the city. The Ferrari is crowding the BRM very closely. They're about 15 yards apart as they go past the start.
Now John Surtees has taken the lead. He may have been warned by his pit what is happening.